SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. The quickest 180 minutes in sports talk and television continues the Monday Night Meltdown. We've got Mo Khan stepping up and in. A little bit later on, we'll talk. We'll run the gauntlet with Mo. We'll talk about everything with Mo. It's been a wild weekend. College basketball, March Madness has delivered from an entertainment standpoint. But the evolution of the women's game has arrived. We've come full circle in which here we are right now, in which the women's games are being talked about as much, if not more, than the men's game are. And the drama has just been great. The Final Four is set. I look forward. I haven't even seen the updated numbers yet as far as the futures is concerned and the point spreads. But, man, we've got this is epic. I mean, South Carolina. What is South Carolina now anyways, the women's team? I just want to confirm. Are they 36-0 or 35-0? 36 now. Okay, so they're up to 36-0. So they've got two more. It should be noted they were undefeated last year, and they got knocked off by Iowa. All right? So they've got their own revenge. It's funny, like, it's everyone's got their, you know what I mean? It was Iowa against LSU, and now South Carolina's waiting. And they ran the table and then lost last year. Now they just ran the table again. So if you add it up, like, what are these? These girls are like 73-1 or something in their last 74 games. Like, it's pretty crazy. They're the favorites to cut down the nets. Thing is, South Carolina, they're better than LSU. Like, LSU are a little, even though LSU scored 87 points, LSU are somewhat offensively challenged in the sense that they're not like a great three-point shooting team. Carolina is, you know what I mean, a little bit more deep, you know, complete than LSU. Shout out to everyone joining us on SiriusXM Channel 159. They're more complete, but I've seen South Carolina destroy teams, and I've also seen them, you know, come down to the wire with teams. They kind of sheer force you. They're also a very big team. Like, they're big, big. Like, South Carolina have some big girls on their team, and they're on a mission from last year. So now you want to talk about epic, because Paige Beckers is awesome. Right, but she's not really being talked about very much because of Angel Reese and because of Caitlin Clark. Well, now Angel Reese is gone. Now we're going to have a head-to-head matchup with Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark. You got to be kidding me. It continues. And we'll get into this on the other side a little bit, but I don't think this is going to stop. I don't, like, you know, I think some people think, well, you know, the women's game right now, it's kind of peaking, and it won't be as big without Caitlin Clark. I don't agree with that. I think there'll be new Caitlin Clarks. If anyone has been paying attention to this woman's stuff over the last couple of years, there's a lot of superstars. Like, there's a lot of really good players now, man. Like, you know, like, really good on all these teams, these different teams. You know, the Cameron Braid on Stanford. She's going to be a star in the WNBA. Like, Juju Watkins is a star. Paige Beckers is amazing. Caitlin Clark is amazing. Flo J. Johnson's a kid. She's 18, only a freshman. She's amazing. Angel Reese is amazing. The moral girl. She's going to be in the WNBA. Right? I mean, I know Haley Van Lith struggled a little bit at times tonight. It wasn't really her fault. She was getting picked on a lot, but she's good. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many good players. And I think that, like, listen, there's only going to be one Caitlin Clark, but there's a lot of really, really good women's players that'll take the mantle. And I think the difference is they were all there, right? Like, it's not like suddenly, oh, my God, there's good women's players. No, it's just now suddenly they're being recognized. So the media is going to want to build their next star, right? And it'll be Paige Beckers. So they're going to want to build the next star. And, you know, it just continues. You know, it wasn't that long ago, guys, that Sabrina, right? Sabrina Ionescu, she was the one who was like, wow, she's amazing. Now people was like, wow, Caitlin Clark, she's amazing. There'll be new ones that come along the way. But it's going to be an epic stuff. Great, great weekend of basketball. I was thinking about it. So we're going to have basketball on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday over the weekend. Before, and I'll be real too, listen, I watch more women's sports than most like casual sports fans do or bettors do and stuff. As you guys know, like over the years, so I am a supporter of women's sports. I've been betting on it for a long time. I've been betting on the WNBA forever. Although I've never really killed the WNBA. That's why I don't bet it more. It's not like I have some big, you know, I wish I was better at it. I'm sort of hit or miss. WNBA is tough. But let's be real. Normally, you know, March Madness, the women's tournament, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. Nothing else is on. And all right, I'll bet this a little bit. And now it's like, wow, I can't wait to, you know, for this game to start. I can't wait for this. They cut in the other day to the UConn game. And they basically said, listen, if you want to watch a competitive game, Baylor and USC women's games a lot better than this. Go over to TSN 4. Right? I was like, wow, I never thought I'd see the day that would happen. But, you know, here we are right now. Like I said, I can't wait to see what the numbers were for tonight's game. Like 10 million, 12 million, whatever it is. Like massive type of numbers. And on a Monday night, too. Too bad it wasn't in the Final Four this game, though. Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. Level 3 has begun. Pips the players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between. Joining us, including our AM radio affiliates, at least some of them, including the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, SoCal in the house, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. We're kicking it on SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio and Television Network. We'll start off with the great Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark drops 41 points tonight. The Iowa Hawkeyes are going back to the Final Four, unfinished business after they lost in a championship game last year. But South Carolina also have unfinished business as well. You know, there was so much hype coming in to tonight's game. There's been so much hype around Caitlin Clark, which makes it even more impressive that she continues to live up to the hype. And you're talking about big-time pressure. Like, she is the face of college basketball. Like, she, you know, she is more popular and she is more famous than any of the men's players, right? Zach Edey's a badass. I don't see Zach Edey, you know, getting billboards. You know what I'm saying? And so she stepped up 41 points tonight. Great basketball game. LSU, you know, they got into foul trouble. There's, you know, I think Iowa's going to win no matter what, but Angel Reese got hurt. Sort of, you know, she was diving for a ball. She sort of ran out of bounds and she landed awkwardly. She fought through it. They just, you know, Iowa's just on fire. The difference was Caitlin Clark tonight. And then Paige Becker steps up and in with an awesome performance tonight. Juju Watkins was great tonight. The future of women's basketball is awesome. And we'll hit this on the other side. Mo Khan's going to step up and in. We'll talk men's Final Four, obviously. Major League Baseball. We'll get into the NFL. Has anybody seen Rashee Rice anywhere? We did, leaving the scene of an accident, a hit and run that he caused. That him, like, seriously, say what you will about the Kansas City Chiefs. They're a great football team, but they really have no shame, like, in the players that they get, right? And there's kind of a pattern with the Kansas City Chiefs, if you think about it, if you actually want to take a step back. But I digress. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 3 continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. Let's do this thing. A lot of stuff to get to. It was a wild weekend this weekend. The UFL, of course, is back. We had the men's Final Four is set. The Frozen Four is now set. The Michigan Wolverines beat Michigan State. But let's start off with Caitlin Clark tonight. You know, as I stated earlier, it's one thing to, you know, to be awesome, but it's even harder to be awesome when people expect you to be awesome. And look, her player prop tonight was 32.5. That's a lot. She scores 41 points this evening. The assist as well are just, you know, the vision that she has is just unbelievable. And the thing with the Iowa Hawkeyes is, too, like a lot of these other teams, like a good example is UConn. like Aliyah Edwards is going to like she's projected to be like a top five pick in the WNBA draft. Paige Becker's been hurt a lot, so I think she's probably going to come back to college next year, and she'll be kind of the face of college basketball. But she's another one. Like, Paige Becker's going to be a superstar in the WNBA. Like, you have all these great, great players. And here's Caitlin Clark, like the face of women's college basketball, essentially. Puts the team on her back. But, like, the Iowa Hawkeye players, like Gabby Marshall, the point guard, she's going to be a doctor. Like they were saying the other day, like, you know, every one of these games could be her last games. This is, she's not playing basketball anymore. She's going to be a doctor after. And you know, the other girl, I think it's Martin, same thing. She's like a grad major, super smart, whatever she takes. And she's not going to the WNBA, right? Like the Iowa Hawkeyes, put it this way, it's the best way to put it. The Iowa Hawkeyes aren't the most talented team compared to these other teams. Like what Caitlin Clark's like carrying these girls, but they all play with such heart. They play with, you know, great coach, Iowa, the Bluter. She's a great coach. Just, you know, there's so much fun to watch the pace that they play with. So the game went over the number tonight. LSU falls short. Tough to go back to back. Kim Mulkey's defensive strategy against Caitlin Clark was bizarre. You know, I mean, it was pretty clear Haley Van, she couldn't deal. She couldn't deal with Caitlin Clark. Nobody really could, but they didn't really ever adjust on Caitlin. They just sort of let her do her thing, and they figured, all right, we'll let other people beat us, but the other people did enough to beat them. So Iowa moves on. Now they're going to get UConn. But just one thing about this is, you know, the numbers are massive. The interest is through the roof, but there is something going on. You see it with the PWHL, the Women's Hockey League. They're selling out NHL arenas right now. And you can do it once, right, where it's a novelty, right? Or, you know, I mean, you had a discount or this or that. Oh, it was $2 hot dog night or whatever. But no, like they're selling out these big buildings across the league. And you see with the women's game, I think it'll continue at the collegiate level, like because there's always been great players. The media just never really paid attention. Right. So now they'll pay attention because they're going to see, oh, my God, we can get big ratings for these women's games. So let's prop up somebody else and make her a superstar. So they'll always be the next superstar. I think the future of women's college basketball is awesome, but it hasn't translated yet fully into the WNBA. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Sabrina Ionescu, she's a massive star, great college basketball player, but she doesn't, you know, it doesn't move the needle. Right, when it comes to people watching. She was great against Curry in the All-Star game, right, with a three-point contest. But, right, like Caitlin Clark's going to move the needle. Angel Reese will move the needle in the WNBA. And it really is a lot like Bird and Magic Johnson. Like, people don't realize, like, the NBA wasn't that popular before. Like, in the 70s, the NBA was struggling, right? It was deemed too urban, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, white enough for corporate America. Right, it was too, you know, funkish, you know, the fish that say Pittsburgh type thing, right? I loved it, but, man, I watched the NBA Finals. I remember it came on tape delay. It came on tape delay after, like, the local news and the talk shows and everything. It was, like, basically 1 in the morning. It'd be like, all right, and, you know, now on tape, right? It just happened earlier tonight. The first finals I watched, it was the Seattle Supersonics and the Washington Bullets. The Supersonics won. I think it was like 77, 78 type thing. I think they played twice, right? But it was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird who like kind of put college basketball like in the mainstream. Not that UCLA weren't, but in the commercial level. And then it carried over to the NBA. Like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson made the NBA, right? And then saved the NBA, and then Jordan sort of took it to the next level, and here we are now with all the other stars that carried the torch after. But I think that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese can do the same for the WNBA. I can't wait. Look at it, you know, the Indiana tickets have already sold out. They haven't even drafted her yet. You know, tickets for the home opener are going for like $1,000 already. So, like, the hype is real. It's been great basketball, and, you know, the quality of play was good. So speaking of, and just quickly as far as the odds are concerned moving forward, South Carolina, so they're 36-0, South Carolina Gamecocks. They're minus 200 to cut down the Nets. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes are plus 310. UConn are 7-1, and NC State are 12-1. That's right, NC State have made it in the women's and the men's, as has UConn. So I'm thinking here of a parlay. I do believe that South Carolina is going to win. Caitlin, listen, Iowa and UConn is going to be an awesome game, but South Carolina are 36-0 for a reason. I think they're going to grind this out. They lost Iowa last year, so they're on the revenge tour this time, just like Iowa was against LSU. And I think the UConn men are going to cut down the nets. As we stated before the tournament started, we bet on UConn, but if you didn't get in on it, so parlay together, it's plus 131 right now, which isn't great. South Carolina to win, UConn to win. The problem is, UConn, look how big of favorites UConn are against Alabama. And Alabama are really good. Like, imagine if it's NC State versus UConn in a national championship game on the men's side. What's UConn going to be favored by? 16 and a half? Seven? Like, you know what I mean? So it's, you can look at it and go, wow, man, UConn are minus 185. Yeah, whatever, dude. They're 12-point favorites already against a good Bama team. What are they going to be against NC State? They'd literally be like 17-point favorites. It would be insane. And I don't know if it'd be that high, because the book would be like, God, like, we're really gonna have to do this. But the Alabama number somewhat surprised me, actually, in which they never learned their lesson with UConn, right? You know what I mean? Like, it was 9 and 9, 9.5 against San Diego State, and people talked themselves into that. And it was like, really? UConn killed them last year. What's going to be different? So it's sitting at 12 right now. And Bama are badasses, right? Like, Alabama are a really good basketball team with a ton of athletes. They can hit the three. They're going to play at a quick tempo that could give UConn some problems. And yet, here we are at 12. You know, all it took was 10 consecutive. Because look at the number against Illinois. It was 8.5. It was 8.5. They outscored them. They went on a 30-0 run at one point. 30-0. You know, to do that against, like, okay, if you're playing Kennesaw State or something like that, right? You know, we've seen massive runs when you get, like, these dominant, you know, teams against bad teams, but not like that. Like, Illinois, you're an elite basketball team, and they just got absolutely, like, their will was broken. It was like The Exorcist. Like, their soul was taken from them, right? It was really like, wow. Like, you know, these guys, like, a 30-0 run. Like, UConn, you know, it was like, stop the fight. You know, he's already dead type of deal. But we've talked about it. Remember, like, St. John's, we talked about Rick Pitino as a great coach. And Pitino told his players, we need to play a lot faster against UConn. The only way to beat them is to try to outscore them in a track meet. And they nearly did. They lost, like, 95-90, even though the score wasn't kind of, you know, it's, UConn was never really fully, totally scared. But they gave them all that they can handle. Alabama fall into this category as well. Like, Alabama are not going to set up in half court. They're just going to run and gun and say, you know what? Let's hope our shots fall and we can beat these guys. But UConn have won 10 consecutive NCAA tournament games in the last 2 years, year and a half here, all by double digits. This is Sports Race.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the Pits, the Bar, Sauce, and people to bust up, and everybody else in between. A lot of stuff I want to get to with our main man, Mo Khan, steps up and in. Basketball play-by-play voice, was a college wide receiver, statistician, and everything else in between. He loves sports. Mo, how you doing, my man?
I'm well. Yourself, Gabe?
Good stuff, Mo. Thanks for joining us. So a lot of stuff I want to get to. Let's start off with the men's Final Four, because I just spent the last 20 minutes talking about the women's, but we'll get your thoughts on the women's Final Four. Epic games tonight. Super entertaining stuff. But what do you think about this men's Final Four right now? It's a very interesting mix of teams right now, yet there's no Cinderellas in the bunch. I know that the NC State Wolfpack, being an 11 seed, are going to sort of carry that into this, but the fact of the matter is, The North Carolina basketball program generated $16 million in revenue, bro. Right? Yeah. So they're not, this isn't like some, they're NC State. Like they have money. Like they're NC State. They're a big time program with big time amenities, big time facilities. They were just underachievers all year, point blank. And it's funny, DJ Burns was asked, what's been the difference? Why, what's been the difference? What has changed with this basketball team from where you guys were a couple of weeks ago? And he said, oh, it's pretty simple. He said, we stopped being late for practice and we've showed a lot more commitment. He basically admitted that they weren't serious enough all season long. But what do you make of this NC State Wolfpack basketball team? And do you think that they can knock Purdue off now? Do they have another win in them?
You know, if it was tomorrow the game, I would give NC State a chance, right? But now you give Purdue almost a full week to prep for the Wolfpack and what they do well and what they don't do well. And you think about that game against Duke on Sunday afternoon, Gabe, right? My biggest concern for the Wolfpack going against Purdue, if they have to win this from the free throw line, they weren't clean at the line. You have to be a killer instinct at the free throw line to win these seven matchups here. And they could have dusted Duke with 5 minutes left in the ballgame, but they kept allowing Duke to hang around here and allow Burns to do what he did in the paint. So my question for NC State going into this Final Four affair on Saturday at 6:05, can they play a clean basketball affair for 40-plus minutes, perhaps, who knows, 40 minutes for sure, if not more than that. But more importantly, though, taking care of the small details against Purdue. Purdue's done remarkably well, taking away the small details away from opponents so far this tournament, Gabe. And if Purdue does that and stretches NC State, this might be a blowout by the time at the second half of this matchup.
You know what, though? What do you think about DJ Burns against Zach Edey, which should be a really fun matchup to watch? Nobody really has the size to deal with Zach Edey. He's such a large person. Yeah, you want to talk about a big dude. And I think it's kind of lost in the sense, as with Burns, how big he is, because he kind of looks chunky and round. But he's a large dude as far as height is concerned. And we'll get to the NFL talk around him. What about this matchup? Because it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch. How do you think that matchup plays out between Burns and Zach Edey?
So funny story about DJ Burns, right? BJ Burns, beg your pardon. He was the number three recruit in South Carolina back in 2018 behind Zion Williamson. At the time of his weight, he was about 260. You know, and he's now, 280, 290 right now at NC State? I think what it'll come down to is this, between Edey and Burns, is going to come down to the footwork, right? Both these players have improved their footwork from where they were in their freshman year to where they are today going to this matchup. Is can they get Edey out of the paint and open up that spacing? Because NC State loves the extra pass along the perimeter, but when they have that free lane to attack the rim, they won't hesitate at all to go and hit the rim and try to get themselves either two, if not the foul, and who knows what else that comes with it. So that situation, I want to see how do they now try to go with this chess piece in Zach Edey, because we know he is the centerpiece for Purdue, right? He is the central figure for what they do on both ends of the court. And if you can stretch him out early and perhaps get him to foul trouble, it really puts the onus on the supporting cast for Purdue, Gabe. And we talked about it back at the end of the Big Ten tournament where it was Zach Edey and everyone else. But now we're seeing more production, more effort from the Purdue Boilermakers. So can they get the exact same script to be applied on Saturday afternoon against NC State?
One thing that NC State have done an awesome job of doing, and it's super impressive, number one, the teams that they've beaten along the way, Mo. You right. know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can look back at a run and go, wow, man, they really got lucky. They look at the teams that they ended up playing. These guys have freaking earned it. Like, as far as, like, the ACC tournament, beating Duke, beating North Carolina, getting Virginia. To the NCAA, Virginia. And you bring the Virginia game up. I remember that game because I had money on Virginia, and I was so mad. Dude, Virginia were up by 3 points, and the kid missed the free throw. He only hit one of two late, right? And it could have made it four. And I was like, I remember I was raging on the air. I'm like, freaking Virginia, they could have been up by four. They only hit by three. And then the kid banked it. It was like a desperation. Doof off, banked it in. Rest is history. They win in overtime, and then they go on. They win the tournament. But look at the teams they beat when I got to the tournament, right? They had to deal with New Mexico, Right? Everyone's talking, oh, New Mexico, big trendy team, man, coming out of, you know, the Mountain West. They won a Mountain West tournament. Baylor are badasses, right? Baylor are like a talented team. You know, they won the championship a few years ago. Then you get the, you know, whole high-flying Arizona, the games in Los Angeles. They're never going to be able to keep up at a track meet with this talented Arizona team. Beat them down. Oh, Duke. Super impressive. Sorry, the Oakland game, too. They beat Oakland along the way. Sorry, my bad. Yes. Oakland. So that's another thing, too, that they've won as an underdog. Then they won a game that they were supposed to win, which is super impressive. What I find impressive about them, too, Mo, is the fact that they're able to keep this going after. Everybody said, oh, they're never going to be able to keep it going after the ACC weekend, right? It's going to be, you know, then it was like, yeah, but can they keep it going into the Elite Eight, into the Sweet 16, excuse me? Evidently, yes, they can. A lot of times teams will go back to campus or they'll go and it'll get to their head already. They think they're superstars and they lose sort of the desperation that they've had. NC State have done a great job of not losing the hunger.
No, they haven't. And you think about the ACC tournament final against UNC. They punched the Tar Heels in the mouth, right? The North Carolina went into that tournament wobbly because people were saying, well, hold on here. The Wolfpack really administered their muscles against North Carolina and didn't back down. And you saw that same template be applied the first few weeks of this tournament here. And when they played Duke, Gabe, right, you thought about, okay, you know what? Duke's hitting their shots early and often here. But what killed Duke yesterday was the fact they couldn't hit the three-point ball, right? They had one early in the matchup in the first half, and that was it, right? They were like 1-for-14 up until late in the second half of that matchup against NC State. So I think at the end of the day for NC State, yes, they got momentum on their side. The fascination is there for both men's and women's team being in the Final Four on Friday and Saturday at least. Look, they got momentum, Gabe, and you never know, right? In a one-off as we have for this type of format, they could beat Purdue, but it's going to require them to play, again, the small details to perfection and not being loose with the free throw shooting and giving Purdue a chance to get back in this game if they have a lead in this matchup.
And of course, the Final Four is in Glendale, Arizona, where the Super Bowl was, home of the Arizona Cardinals. So NC State are getting 9.5 points, Mo. I do believe they're going to hang around. I don't think Purdue are going to rout them. I think it's going to be a battle, but I've got Purdue surviving. Like, you know, 80-74 or something like that. I think it'll be a higher scoring game, but in that range, 80-74. What do you think? Like a 6-point win type thing.
I think 6-7 point win, right? I think it's going to be tight for up until maybe the final 4 minutes here. And I think that the key for NC State, though, that has been clutch for them, Gabe, is that they've been clutch in key moments, right? Key shots.
Yeah.
The extra pass, right?
So we get that's the thing about playing with urgency too. They've been playing for desperation all through the ACC and everything, right? So they've been every game's been an elimination game for them for 3 weeks.
Absolutely. And if this game is a 1-2 point lead for Purdue, and if NC State's chasing this matchup with 4 minutes left here, can they play with quality, right? Find the extra pass, attack the rim. Do the things that have gotten them there to the Final Four at this point here. And if they do, Gabe, I mean, look, again, all bets are off at that point. But again, you're no question. I agree with you that Purdue will be the favorites here. And I think they definitely win this game perhaps by 5, 6, maybe 7 points.
Can't help but think about Valvano. And they were kind of giant killers
that'd
before.
Be awesome. Yeah.
Right? I bought in. I was watching all the old Valvano stuff on Saturday night. And I was like, they're going to win. They're going to win again. It's not done yet. You get to sort of feel it with them that it's not done yet. But Purdue have it going on. But as you stated, the supporting cast, yeah, they hit some threes yesterday that helped bury the game. But they are so dependent on Zach Edey that if NC State can neutralize Edey or at least frustrate him and or get him into foul trouble, right? Because he gets everybody else into foul trouble. And how they're going to call it, I imagine, too, in this big stadium, it's another thing you never really know how teams going to react shooting-wise. And then the last thing is people are going to jump on the NC State bandwagon, right, in the stadium and stuff, right? Like, if the game's close, like, the pressure will be more on Purdue, right? They're supposed to win Purdue. Like, the pressure's going to be on them more than NC State. And then Alabama getting 12 points, Mo. Pretty crazy because Alabama is such a good team. But, and you know, UConn were 8.5 point favorites against Illinois, Mo. They were 9.5 point favorites against San Diego State. The odds makers have finally said, all right, like, you know what I mean? Like, we've got to make it higher because we keep losing. So they made it, they tried. They made it 11, and the bettors bet it up to 12 already. So UConn right now, up to 10 games in a row, Mo. All 6 last year and all 4 this year, they've won by double digits. An incredible run of dominance.
Yeah, look, I think for UConn, I was wrong with the whole San Diego State thing last week, Gabe, when you asked for the most fascinating game. But look, the key for the Crimson Tide in this matchup is going to be rebounding. Can they win the second, third, and fourth chance opportunities here against UConn? Because if they don't, and UConn gets going,
they won't.
It might be an NASCAR race for UConn.
That's a good point. Alabama only have one big dude, Nelson. That's it. They don't really.
You know what I mean?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Moretzi. And our boy Mo Khan, he has interest in everything, including WrestleMania is coming up this weekend. And all Elite Wrestling's on tour. Our boy Daddy Magic's a fan of the show, actually. So shout out to Daddy Magic, who's pretty good on the mic. He's carved out something for himself. You know, I'm not like, I like wrestling, Mo. Yeah. I like old school. I'm sort of stuck in the past. Like, you know what I mean? Like whenever I see like an old school King Kong Bundy match or Big John Studd or something, I'll enjoy it. And I'm like, I'll reminisce. And, oh, you know, those are great, great times and stuff. I find it too, it's just too, a little bit too, there's not enough wrestling, right?
It's more drama. Sense,
right? Yeah, the drama, the show. Yeah. And I think Jim Cornette had a good way of putting it, which he said, you know, he's talking about the WWE, and he goes, you watch these wrestlers and stuff. He goes, they're not really wrestling. He goes, they have moves, right? And it's sort of in a way that he's sort of right. I know I'm not saying there's not real good wrestlers there. I know some of them are really good and stuff. But, you know, it just sort of – so I don't know, like, who the WrestleMania is this year. I know The Rock is back.
Yeah.
I know The Rock is back, and I know that people were pissed. I got to be honest. I get a lot of my WWE stuff through Pat McAfee. just following, like he has The Rock on his show, and Pat will talk about wrestling like once a week. Like he'll bring it up. And I'm assuming he's gonna like, I don't know what he's gonna do at WrestleMania. I'm gonna run
he'll
in or something.
Friday, show, and he'll be on the broadcast for both days, I believe, for WrestleMania.
Yeah, but there's no way he doesn't run into the ring and do something.
We'll find out, right?
I guarantee. I have no insight or anything, but I'm telling you, I guarantee you, like they're gonna use him somehow. I don't know though. Like whatever. Vince was a big fan of his, so I don't know like the new dynamic there. But so I know The Rock is back, and I know remember The Rock was crying because wrestling fans were all pissed off. Oh, Cody deserves it and stuff. Like, and The Rock was funny. He was like, "All you jabronis in your basement, calm down, all right?" Like, oh, the storyline needs to be finished and stuff. It was funny. Like, Rock went heel, actually. It was pretty cool when he came back.
Yeah.
It's like, you're all a bunch of losers. And you go, screw your stupid storyline. I'm The Rock, all right? I'm the biggest storyline in the world. And I thought, I was like, man, that's why this guy's good. Like, Rock knows that everyone's upset about it, right? He understands the wrestling fans didn't want him coming back and just sort of stealing the spotlight from everybody. But instead of, like, whatever, he said, suck it. I'm doing it because I'm The Rock and I can. So it'll be cool. But what's the big thing about WrestleMania? Do they have any celebrities? Or what's the big thing this year?
You know, I think, well, obviously The Rock being there, but because of him and the whole storyline being kind of screwed up back in at the Rumble in January where he showed up and then Cody Rhodes won the Rumble and all that, I think there might be a wrench thrown in on Sunday night where maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin pops up or Hulk Hogan, who's going to be there anyway for some sort of event in WrestleMania. They might throw another twist in that storyline with The Rock and Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. So I think that's going to be the case, but like, Gabe, Mania is the Super Bowl for wrestlers, right? This is what it is for them for the 2 days that they'll be in Philadelphia. And they expect some stories, some surprise to happen. So I think there will be a surprise or two that we'll see throughout the course of the 2 nights they'll have in Philadelphia this weekend.
It shouldn't be 2 days either. That's just my own personal...
It's a money revenue thing, right?
No, I get it. Well, make it 2 days, but don't call it WrestleMania the day before. Right, like you said, I'm just saying for me personally, like you said, it's like the Super Bowl. Everybody's have to have their, quote, WrestleMania moment, right? I'd be like, no, like not everyone's getting on WrestleMania. I hate to tell you this, everybody, but, you know, I got 400 people under contract and 24 of you will be on this card. not everybody gets to be on the on this. Like, you know what I mean? But they have, like, the participation trophy now for everybody. Let's just make it, like, 82 hours and 2 days.
It's long.
It's too long, in my opinion. Like, just make it one. Yeah. And I get it. People like it and stuff. They, you know what I mean? Whatever. They're doing fine without me. But I'm just saying, for me personally, I don't mind checking it out. Like, I used to, like, oh, yeah, WrestleMania, let me check it out for a couple hours on Sunday night. You know what I mean? When it starts to get good. Now it's like stretched out and they have big time matches on Saturday and it's all over the place because they want you to show up for both days, but it's a cash cow. I get it. So Alabama and UConn, what do you think, Mo? No. Can Alabama hang around? We talked about it going into the break. You talked about, you think about the rebound situation. Alabama's only big man is Nelson. They're not the biggest team. They're a fast team, but they're not the biggest team. UConn obviously have a ton of size in the paint. What do you make of this game? Can Alabama play with UConn?
Alabama can play with UConn, but the problem was, again, well, not the problem was, but the situation against UNC in particular was that UNC made no shots, right, in the game on Thursday night, and that enabled Bama to come back in because they made their shots. And it goes back to that point that I made with rebounding, is that can they win those second and third chance opportunities? Because if you don't do that first shot quality going in, UConn's going to take it and run it right down your throats and score two, if not 3 points here. And, you know, you made the point, Gabe, last week that, you know, UConn does a really good job adapting to what they have in front of them, right? You want to play slow down offense, we'll go half court. You want to run it and gun it, no problem. We'll adjust to that as well. And, look, I think for Alabama with Nate Oates, he's got to come up with a game plan that's going to really fortify what Bama does really well, is that they can spread the court out and hit their shots. But if they don't hit their shots early and often against UConn, this might be one of those games, again, Gabe. I'm not saying it would be like Illinois when they went on a 30-0 run here, but it could get out of hand here for Alabama if they don't hit the shots and win the rebounding battle against UConn.
When it's all said and done, you expecting UConn to cut down? Have you finally submitted to UConn's dominance? Are they going to cut down the nets on Monday?
I thought San Diego State would do it, but I was dead wrong. So I think UConn and Purdue will be the two teams that will meet up next Monday night for the Final Four in Arizona.
And then you've got UConn. Who do you got? UConn versus Purdue if they play?
I think UConn's going to do it. And, look, it goes back to the fact that they have more wealth of experience at this point, better depth to work with. I just worry about Zach Edey because he might wear down against NC State. And even though he's been in tremendous shape, he's been playing better basketball this year compared to years past, I just think UConn has a lot more to work with in terms of what they want to pick. They're like a menu of options here, right? The appetizer, the main course, and dessert. You pick what you want, and you're going to come back full and satisfied with UConn's options on their menu that they have right now for them.
So, Mo, epic performance for Caitlin Clark tonight. She drops 41 points. Iowa as a whole played great. You know, their team all stepped up. I was surprised about the defensive strategy that they used on Caitlin Clark. It was pretty clear that Van Lith couldn't deal with her. And not just her. Like, you know what I mean? I know everyone was sort of they took her, they replaced her and stuff, but no one had an answer for her. And I saw Kia Nurse at the half who basically said, I don't know what the hell Kim Mulkey's doing. Like, she really called her out. She said, like, it's pretty obvious. And she said, Caitlin Clark's awesome, but she always goes to her right. Right, it goes to show this, like a WNBA pro like Kia, right? She's like, for the love of God, girls. She's like, she does the same thing all the time. She goes to her right. And she said, you're not going to stop her, but at least make her go to the left where she doesn't, you know what I mean? At least make her go where she doesn't want to go, where she's not as comfortable. And they weren't doing it. And she was really getting mad about, they were setting screens. She's like, you're getting caught in front of them and behind them. Right. It was sort of like, you know, LSU had never seen. It was very bizarre that they couldn't. They were so out of place so often in the game. But nevertheless, it was a great performance. But people are sleeping on UConn and Paige Beckers a little bit. I know this isn't a dominant UConn team like the past, but they played their best game tonight. I've watched all their games in this tournament. That was the best game that they played tonight against USC. They just dialed it up a notch tonight. Beckers was unbelievable. Aaliyah Edwards was unbelievable tonight as well. She really raised her game tonight, Mo. And we got another classic coming up on Friday night, man. The Iowa Hawkeyes are 2.5-point favorites over UConn. Total guys is 163.5. Who do you like? Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. Who you got, Mo?
Paige Becker, before her knee injury, was going to be the it star. I heard you in your first segment about Paige Becker's, and unfortunately, with that knee injury she suffered 18 months ago, the spotlight went to Caitlin Clark, and rightfully so, right? And I think now for Paige Becker's, everyone's remembered, oh, yeah, I forgot about Paige Becker's. Look at her now. She's an awesome player who started to find her rhythm now after going to what she went through the last 12, 14 months. I think what this is for UConn here is that no one's talked about them, Gabe, right? We talked about USC. We talked about both USC's, I beg your pardon. We talked about Iowa. We talked about LSU. We talked about those teams who've been more in the forefront. UConn's kind of been covert, under the radar, doing their thing. And now here they are back in the Final Four. And I think for what they have built up, the momentum that they've gone through, they got better team depth right now. And you're right about Iowa, right? After Caitlin Clark, they don't really have much to work with in terms of talent that can step up if Clark does not have a good game. And think about it this way, right? LSU did a good job in the first half against Caitlin Clark. In the second half, they made their adjustments, and LSU did not do their adjustments. And look what happened, right? She went up for 41 at the end of the day. So can Gino and his girls come up with the proper game plan that you're going to not stop her, but continue her and force the other players from Iowa to beat you with what you have rolling, as UConn has done so well so far in this tournament?
So what's the pick? You think they can? UConn. It's hard to get a goal against Caitlin. You're taking UConn, huh?
I'm taking UConn because I just think right now UConn's got a chip on the shoulder, right? People have kind of wrote them off saying they're no longer that power, right? It's South Carolina, it's Iowa, it's LSU, it's Southern California, the other USC program that's going to be now on the rise, and UCLA as well. But I think now for where UConn is, they are the wounded, and now they're coming back to hunt these teams down here. And remember, Iowa, right, as I said before, after Caitlin Clark leaves, what's their program going to be like? I think for UConn, this might be a rise for them. But if they do beat Iowa and get to the Final Two on Sunday, you never know what can happen against USC if they do play South Carolina, who plays NC State as well.
South Carolina minus 200 favorites to win it all. 36-0, right? What a run. Last year, they only lost one game, too. They lost in the Final Four to South Carolina to Iowa. So they've got unfinished business as well. Mo Khan kicking it with us. So, Mo, and just quickly, do you have South Carolina? Who do you think wins the women's championship?
I think South Carolina does win it. I think Dawn City has put together this team again. Like last year's team should have won it, right? But they came up short. I think this year's team, again, same thing. Chip on the shoulder, just like UConn has. I think it'll be UConn, South Carolina on Sunday night. And no matter what, right, if it's Iowa against South Carolina or UConn against the Gamecocks, they're going to hit a massive TV number for this game on primetime Sunday night because of what's involved for the women's game as they grow and get bigger and bigger year by year.
Oh, massive numbers. So the UFL debuted, and it's good news, bad news. Like I said, I enjoyed the XFL and the USFL, so we lose a league, right? But
yeah,
the quality of play was better. You could tell with the merge, right? I mean, you know, not all the best players stayed. You know what I mean? The teams aren't exactly the same, but taking two leagues and making it into one, you could tell the quality of play was pretty good for week one and super entertaining, yeah, right? I mean, we had a 40-yard touchdown pass, guys, on a fake punt that wasn't supposed to be, that was thrown to the center, all right? All right? Like the punter said, he goes, he was so wide open, I had to throw it to him. He threw a perfect bullet to him, and then the big man rumbled in for the touchdown. But now there are reports tonight, Mo, and it was unbelievable. And, of course, my luck, bro. I had the St. Louis Battlehawks on the money line. All right? So I just need them to win the game. They had a late touchdown. They score a late touchdown. I look. I'm like, damn, man. Michigan have time to kick a field goal still, maybe. I didn't think the kid was going to kick a 64-yarder twice. So he lines up. They call timeout just as he kicks it. Boom, right down the middle. And even the announcer's like, yeah, well, let's see if he can do it, like, when they're trying to actually block it. Oh, he can do it all right. We'll hit this on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, you know, it was like the best of times, the worst of times. You're not going to win every bet, but I've turned it around. We're sort of going on a run a little bit now, but I had a bad, like, month or something where it was just, like, half point this, weird that. and Mullet culminated. I had a big parlay. I had UConn on the money line basketball, and I'm watching the UFL as well, loving it, and I'm watching everything at once. And I got the Battle Hawks, and the Battle Hawks were upsetting me. The Battle Hawks are loaded a wide receiver, okay? But McCarron couldn't get him the ball. Like, the defense, Michigan's defense was terrorizing the offensive line of the Battle Hawks. And the Battle Hawks go on a late drive. They score a touchdown with like 40 seconds left or something. But they were only up by, they could lose with a field goal. So I knew they were in trouble. They were up by two or whatever, right? So I was like, oh, man, like these guys, Michigan can come back, kick a field goal. So long story short, Jack Bakes kicks a 64-yard field goal. Guys, he hadn't kicked a field goal since high school. He went to Texas. He played soccer at Central Arkansas. He kicked off. He didn't kick field goals, but he was a kickoff specialist for Texas State football. He kicked off for Arkansas a couple of times, but never kicked a field goal. Hadn't attempted a field goal since high school. And he said after that he had never kicked a game-winning field goal in his life before, even in high school. And he drills a 64-yarder. And now there are reports, the Detroit News, Tony Paul, the Detroit News reports that the Detroit Lions have contacted Bates and offered him want to offer him a tryout, invite him to camp. But multiple NFL teams have offered him a tryout already. Not bad, Mo. First game of the year, he put himself on the NFL map like that.
It's great. Look, the
sorry,
UFL
15 seconds.
Slow burn for the UFL, but I think it'll get better and better as we move along towards the middle part of the regular season for this league.
And it'll be fun to see down the road if it comes to fruition where the CFL plays them in a championship game, which I think would be cool.
It'd be great for both sides.
I think the Rock was open to it and the CFL was open to it. So I think down the road it could be something that might be able to work. Thanks, Mo. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.